Welcome to another edition of the Y-Pod, where we highlight everyday Wyoming leaders. This is a conversation with Tim Shepard from the Wyoming Veterans Commission. It's a wide-ranging visit that includes how we might think about giving back to the community, a lifelong lesson that Tim learned that could apply to all of us, and much, much more. I hope you enjoy listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. So let's get to it. Here's Tim Shepard.
My name is Tim Shepard, and I'm currently the Executive Director for the Wyoming Veterans Commission.
Before I had the pleasure to meet you and attend one of the commission meetings, I'm embarrassed now to say I didn't even know the commission existed. Could you maybe tell us a little bit about the commission, why it exists, some of the things that you're involved in?
Sure. The commission has been around since the mid-80s, but it's really grown in responsibility. The vision of the commission is that all veterans receive all the benefits that they have so well earned and deserved. And we're now manned to a level where we feel like that's a possibility. And we actually have 8 what we call veteran service officers around the state who work with veterans to take input and to help them understand what they're eligible for and then to help them actually receive those benefits.
And when we were talking a few minutes ago, I had mentioned a presumption I have, which is that if someone is actively serving or has served in the military, that they're probably aware of the commission and its role in helping them receive their benefits. Do you believe that that's true, or might there be some serving or veterans who actually aren't aware that the commission exists to help them?
I think most of them are like me, and while they were serving, they focused on those things that were most important to them while they were serving. And the Veterans Commission would be kind of outside of that realm. And so I don't think they do know. Although I think with the internet and social media, there's probably a greater number that do than back in when I first started serving back in the late 70s. But I still think that most of them look at things that are relevant to what they're presently doing, not toward their future. And so they probably don't know about the Veterans Commission, and it's important that we continue to get that word out.
You're doing a lot to make that happen. I know we've talked about a few things. I had also asked a question earlier about, are there things that members of the public could be doing, even if they don't have someone in their family who is actively or previously had served? And you had a suggestion for what people might be able to do to help.
I do. I know that people love to, and I really appreciate it, love to say thank you for your service. And I hope that they'll continue to do that. I will tell you, as someone who joined in the late 70s, that was not the atmosphere that we had at that time. Matter of fact, it was so bad that we actually were forbidden to go downtown in our uniforms for fear that we'd be beaten up. But coming back to today, where we are a society that really appreciates what our military does, so thank them for their service, but then ask them, have you seen your veteran service officer? And if their answer is no, encourage them to see their veteran service officer, because there's a lot that veteran service officer can do for the veteran.
And a lot that, as you said, they've earned and they rightly deserve. I also heard a rumor about you that prior to this position, you were what might be called happily retired.
I was. I was very happily retired, very busy. I retired in September of 17. I retired as a colonel from the Wyoming Army National Guard and the United States Army. I think my funnest job, the job I enjoyed the most, was as a colonel when I was the chief of staff of the Wyoming Army National Guard, because I really feel like we made a difference for the organization, and we grew the organization substantially over the course of 4 years. And really changed the types of units and equipment that are available in Wyoming. So not only for federal missions, what most people see as overseas, but also to support Wyoming and the Wyoming communities.
And what was it about the position with the commission that caused you to come back?
I think it's the same thing. You know, I mentioned Wyoming Army Guard Chief of Staff. The thing that I most enjoyed about that job was to help soldiers and to make a difference for soldiers. And that's all the way from the private up to the generals in the organization, that we understood what they needed and that we helped them and supported them so that they could be the best soldiers that they could be. And when I saw this position for the Veterans Commission, I just thought, well, here's a way now that you can replicate that, but that you can do it for veterans.
Also, I know this isn't the only organization that you're a part of. If you might tell us a little bit about those groups.
Sure. So I'm the vice president for the board of directors of a program called After School for Kids. And so that's really all about trying to make sure that those kids in the Title I school community, that they have a place to go after school, and that it's productive, and that it's fun, and that learning is fun. And so they do activities where they'll do projects, aquaponics, if you've ever heard of that. So they actually are trying to create an environment to involve freshwater fish and plants, and so that it all self-generates. And the idea is that you actually can get some form of fresh vegetables and fresh fish from the production of this system that these kids who from K to sixth grade have put together.
That's remarkable.
Yeah, it really is.
I don't know that I could do that as an adult.
Right.
Doing it as kids,
right.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. So that's the After School for Kids program. That also has a component to it that we call Eat, Read, Grow. And that's a program where we bring the kids and their families in, and we share a meal and hopefully share some good family time together over a meal. And then the read part of that is that we provide for each of the kids, to include any siblings who might be there or who aren't there, a book. And we then ask them to share that between the parents and the child or children. And then the last thing, the grow, is that we give them a couple bags of groceries to take home.
I know a lot of your interests cover the entire state. Is that another program that's statewide as well?
That program is specific to Cheyenne.
Okay.
But a statewide program that I'm involved with is called Raising Readers in Wyoming. And that's a program where we provide books to parents when they bring their child in for the well child check from 2 months up to 5 years. And that's statewide, over 100 providers, all 23 counties. And to date, we have given out over 450,000 books.
Then you're also very deeply involved in Kiwanis.
I am.
Which is yet another group to be able to serve. Could you rant a little bit about Kiwanis?
I could always rant about Kiwanis. The hashtag for Kiwanis is that the kids need Kiwanis. And our mission is really to serve communities, one child and one community at a time. It's a worldwide organization, and we do everything from helping to eliminate maternal neonatal tetanus from the world in support of UNICEF. At one time, there were over 56 nations where that was a problem. That's now down to 12. And so that's a global approach, and it goes down to the local level, where here in Cheyenne, we're about to do our 56th, I think, Stars of Tomorrow, where kids get to come in and show off their artistic talents in basically a talent show that's put on completely by Kiwanis, supported by Kiwanis. It's not a money-making venture, so we do other things to make money, and then we turn around and put it into programs like that.
There are chapters across the entire state, as well as some communities that don't yet have chapters, but part of your role is to find partners in that community who might be able to help cultivate and create an environment where those chapters could exist.
Right, and we just basically look at the map and say, where's a community that looks like it needs a Kiwanis Club? And then we go into that community, and we had talked about Torrington. So there was a Kiwanis Club there many years ago, and a lot of people said, yeah, you can't have a Kiwanis Club in Torrington, they won't support it. And so we went up there, myself and another lieutenant governor, and did a little research in the area, did a little polling, and found out, you know what, we think there is interest. Well, long story short, there's now a thriving club there that does quite a bit for the community, and we're really proud of it.
And among things to be proud of, the second largest Kiwanis Club
in the world is in Cheyenne, Wyoming, with 290 members.
Which I find breathtaking. Of all the things I don't know exist in Wyoming, to have the second largest
right.
chapter is pretty remarkable. So for those folks who've never been to a Kiwanis meeting, or for those folks who maybe never even heard of the organization, I know there are a lot of people looking for ways to be a part of something in the community, to be able to give back, to be able to not only expand a network, so to speak, but also to get to know people. Why would you think Kiwanis might be a good choice?
The thing I love most about Kiwanis is that it's a hands-on organization. So if it's something where you really do want to roll up your sleeves and make a difference in the community, Kiwanis is that. There, obviously, there's also a fundraising element to it, and a lot of us do give quite a bit to our Kiwanis clubs. But more than any other club I've been involved with, Kiwanis is about rolling up your sleeves and figuring out what is it the community needs. So I'll give you an example. We worked with the City Parks and Rec here in Cheyenne. They identified that there was a need for an all-inclusive playground, and we jumped in with both feet, and we did everything we could to make that a reality. And now if you go to Cahill Park, you'll see that there's an all-inclusive playground there, and Kiwanis was a big part of that. But what I would say is, if you're interested in Kiwanis, the easiest thing to do is to search the web or to go to Facebook and search Facebook for a local Kiwanis club. If you don't know a Kiwanian, that's another great way, because we're always looking to bring guests to our meetings. But if you just show up, I would be shocked if you're not welcomed with open arms. We have people, like I'm a very involved Kiwanian, but we have people who pay their dues and aren't able to even attend a meeting. But there's no attendance roster. It doesn't matter if you show up one time or in the course of 365 days, you show up 365 days. It all matters. It all makes a difference.
You've just got a library of groups that you're involved in. The other one I know you're very excited about, you're involved with Leadership Wyoming.
I am.
Maybe if you could talk a little bit about what you got from it as a participant, and also why you chose to stay involved after participating.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I got a lot more than I bargained for. Leadership Wyoming is a leadership program that talks about developing you individually as a leader, but also as a member of your community. And a lot of the things that we just talked about that I do are a result of my time in Leadership Wyoming. As we talked, I was the chief of staff of the Wyoming Army Guard when I went through Leadership Wyoming, and I really felt and was adamant going into Leadership Wyoming that I'm giving enough back. I'm a soldier. I work Monday through Friday. I work Saturday and Sunday for the Guard. I often do that two or three times a month, so I could work 20 days straight and felt I was giving back all there was to give back. After I finished Leadership Wyoming, I was certain there was a lot more I could do. So that's one side of it, and that sense of a community and giving back to the community and how important it is and how important it became to me that I give back to the community and that I could give back more. I ended up with 45 new best friends, and I mean that. Those were my classmates when I went through in the class of 07, and for any of you other classes that are out there listening, 07 is the best class of all time. And that's a running gag within Leadership Wyoming. Every class thinks they're the best class, and they should. And in their eyes, if they don't think that, then they didn't get the same experience I did, because I do believe in my classmates, and I do see what we do as alumni, and I see the different things that they do to give back to the community, and it's just extraordinary.
In terms of where you see Leadership Wyoming going, they have new executive leadership now, and what's one thing maybe you're excited about in terms of the direction Leadership Wyoming's going?
I can say that Mandy Fable is our executive director, and I'm excited about Mandy. She is just, I can't come up with enough accolades in support of her. She's bright, she's talented, she cares, she wants to make a difference. She does make a difference. She brings great new ideas to the program. As we talked, I'm a member of the board, and I'm very proud of the board of directors. Wendy Smith is the chairman of the board, and she is constantly pressing us for, hey, what else can we do? How do we continually look for the best class of all time? And that every class, you know, that potential is there, that they can be the greatest class of all time.
I love your excitement as you talk about it. I could probably talk to you all day, but I doubt anyone would listen to me talking to you all day. The last story I'm curious if you'd be willing to share is, you said you had a formative experience or someone had an influence on you. I think you said it was in the Army Corps of Engineers.
So when I went through my officer advanced course, I was a relatively young first lieutenant and a relatively unsure first lieutenant. I kind of felt like, well, somehow I've pulled the wool over everybody's eyes and they gave me that gold bar and now I've got the black bar, but I don't know that I can wear those railroad tracks, the captain rank, and I don't know that I'll be a successful company commander. I may have to go my career without that command. And in that course, I met a captain by the name of Joe. And Joe was a young captain, but he had already served as a company commander. And so I looked at him. I actually looked up to him. And he was someone that I thought, you know, maybe I can learn some things from him and try to emulate him. Well, the first thing that I learned from him was how selfless he was. And that in any situation, Joe would always say, what could I have done better? How could I have helped the team more? And I just looked at that and I just thought, you know, that's not you. But maybe if that were you, you know, maybe you can do this. And I really felt like it's a lesson that I learned early and I started out as a private and then had gone through a commissioning program, but hadn't gotten that. I'd had some great mentors, but no one quite like Joe who really hit home like that and shared a lesson with me that I would use for the next 35 years.
Thanks for everything you do to serve the community, to make Wyoming an even better place. And thanks for doing this today.
You're welcome.